Welcome to the Digital Content, the Missing Link in Your Portfolio podcast series hosted on FinTech Today. I'm your host, Matt Langan, and today we are launching part one of this two-part podcast series with a panel of experts who will discuss digital transformation and the CX shift happening today within the FSI vertical. And today we're joined by Jonathan Price, who is the Sitecore Practice Director and Sitecore MVP at AmericanEagle.com, Peter Barrett, Global Marketing Lead for Financial Services at Avanade, Dave McKella, Vice President of Digital Solutions for Horizontal Digital and Sitecore MVP, Scott Albaheri, Chief Strategist for Financial Services at Proficient, and Nancy Lee, Principal Product Manager at Sitecore. And thank you all for joining us today for this podcast panel. So let's start off at the top, and I would love to hear how the digital transformation journey conversations with your FSA clients have changed this year. And let's start with Scott at Proficient on this one.
Thanks, Matt. Well, I would think, given last year, nobody could have imagined what happened or planned for it. And certainly the advent of COVID and the lockdowns and the transformation to remote work and remote branches and closing of everything really exposed a lot of weaknesses in banks and FSI in general in their digital offerings. So the conversations, I would say, haven't really changed, but I think they've accelerated more towards making the digital experience more holistic, end-to-end digital, as opposed to the kind of digital where you do some stuff online and then you have to walk into a branch to complete the transaction. And really, the conversations have changed from transactional banking type of conversations where we've looked at digitizing individual transactions to more of a brand engagement type of interaction where we're really focused on bridging the physical and digital divide, focused on enhancing brand engagement that folks have with their banks and FSIs, and really focused on more of, I would call it, the lifestyle type of engagement that retail seems to do so well at in this marketplace. So we have an increasing interest in communicating with and engaging millennials and Gen Z customers, and how to do that effectively are really the conversations that we're having most often with our banking and FSI customers at this point in time.
Great. Thank you so much, Scott. Jonathan, anything to add to that?
Yeah, just to kind of echo some of Scott's points. I think, last year we also accelerated the digital transformation journeys with historically low rates and the increased number of individuals looking for things like refinancing. That did a couple of things, right? It also increased competition, right? And that has opened up the door for institutions such as banks, credit unions, and money management firms to start packaging more of their financial services online. So there's more opportunity to cross-sell, upsell other types of loans at the forefront in the journeys. There's more organizations now open to that type of individual or digital experience. So we're basically talking about co-selling or upselling things like auto loans and mortgages and refinancing. It also opens up the door for things like explicit personalization opportunities, right? We now know who the users are online. So we can do things like personalizing based off existing customer data. And this has also led to more conversations about things like with chatbots, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and with other tools in the marketplace, such as Coveo or Sitecore's own artificial intelligence tool, which can also suggest results or content gaps for the overall digital experience. So we're seeing FSIs starting adopting this technology, I'll say, much quicker, and are now more open to these types of ideas.
Okay, great. That's a perfect segue into the concept of personalization, because you mentioned that there, Jonathan. And the next question is, with the increase of personalization and the move to broad segment-based personalization to more one-to-one personalization, how will FSI organizations manage the need for more content in the future? And let's start with Dave at Horizontal Digital on that.
Yeah, thanks. So kind of ripping up what John and Scott were saying, we're in a world right now where a personalized digital experience is more critical than ever, because going into a branch, for example, at a retail location isn't necessarily a thing anymore, certainly not something that people are choosing as their first option. And so delivering that sort of in-person bespoke experience via a digital screen or screens is becoming ever more critical. And so that's where we're really helping our clients focus on looking at their digital content strategy through an ROI lens, because you're not going to invest in that kind of effort and the work that goes into a personalization strategy and personalized experiences without a real clear plan for the incremental value you're going to be driving on those screens. So with clients who are sort of in a starting off point on personalization, or if they're moving from a segment-based personalization to a more individualized set of tactics, we're going to start to focus on the business rationale for making that investment. So presumably we're tracking against some measurable goal that might be improving lead volume or lead quality, or as Scott and John were referencing, the ability to sort of package and bundle appropriate packages and get those into the hands of a prospective client. So we're going to write a content plan that describes what that specific needle is that we're trying to move and how we expect each of our personalization tactics to actually move that needle. And so then we just test and measure. And if we've been successful, we should be able to justify the expense and the operational costs and the strategy resources involved in creating and managing that personalized content. And we should be deriving insights that are guiding us to the next set of tactics. So at some point, we might need to be looking at resourcing. If these content tactics are paying off for us, we might at some point need more content authors. We might need greater analysis capability than we have in hand today. And the uplift in results really needs to be able to justify those incremental expenses. So in that way, FinServe as a vertical isn't really all that different from other industries who are doing personalization. You really have to start with the value that you're trying to drive. So for example, we're working with a very large and very well-known provider of investment management services. They work with both individuals and institutions, so both B2B and B2C. And they, along with their peers, have in many cases been slower than a lot of other industries to dive headfirst into personalization for a couple of reasons. Regulatory considerations would be one, but one of them is also this perception of cost and effort involved in personalization versus the expected return that you're going to derive. And so with this client, we started them out with a very low risk, low cost approach that focuses on one specific type of conversion for one B2B audience. And so we were choosing tactics that didn't require tons of heavy lifting, but that could demonstrate a meaningful uplift, not only in total conversions, but also in their case, the cost per conversion. And it was that latter data point, the cost per conversion, that really built the business case for further incremental personalization investment. So again, just like with other clients and other verticals, we're really intending to show that a well thought out personalization strategy can actually result in net savings to the business on the operational side rather than net incremental expense.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave. Great insights there. Peter at Avanade, anything to add to that one?
Well, I feel like the Luddites in this crew, to be honest, because all I can think of is things that are difficult to make this stuff happen. Because for me, the banks have talked a good game for many years about personalization, but I actually think they're struggling with broad-based segmentation still. You know, there's not much information sharing amongst the banks. In fact, sometimes there's even internal competition. So I would say there's a couple of obstacles which I'm aware of that banks need to seriously consider to get a 360-degree view of the customer. I mean, first of all, getting a central customer data repository. You know, the data is normally spread across the bank in silos. If there's one system, it's normally in need of an upgrade. There's legacy everywhere. You know, data needs to be cleaned, deduped, etc. So that's a bit of an issue. Often there's multiple marketing systems in the bank for different product areas. So consolidation of data becomes a bit tricky. And also because of the number of commerce channels or sales channels customers engage with the bank, it's not always easy to pull together that data to get a complete view. In fact, I think because of the lack of legacy, you know, the fintechs have an easier life in terms of offering more personalized services based on the customer's purchasing patterns because of the lack and the absence of legacy. And they can do things like goal setting, gamification to get customers to get to their goals. And they're much more responsive and much more interactive, usually via mobile. But that's not to say that the case for doing this isn't strong. I mean, the data we've come across is that if you get this right in terms of contextual communication, then you double cross and upsell rates. You increase deposit levels by 5 to 15%, improve customer satisfaction by about a third, and you reduce churn, customer churn, by about 10 to 30%. I mean, one bank we worked with in the Nordic region was really keen to get in touch with their younger customer groups. And by helping them get a 360-degree view, they managed to increase their cross-sell by about 100%, just simply by sorting out some of the things that we talked about. So it can be done. It's not always easy. The banks still have a bit of a way to go in terms of segmentation rather than the one-to-one personalization. But maybe I'm a bit exceptional on this group. Maybe people disagree with me, and that's okay.
Peter, actually, I would completely agree with you. I think what the scenario that you're laying out is very common in the clients that we work with. And going back to the retail example that came up earlier about the ability to bundle products, for example. Oh, I see you have a mortgage. Maybe you also want a home equity line of credit or something. What is so often the case is you can't do that because the team and the technology that runs the mortgage business is entirely separate and the data set is entirely separate from the people who might be able to offer that home equity line of credit. And so many times those two different lines of business don't have any idea what the other is doing. You have no access to one another's customer base. There's no sort of AI-driven ability to relate products to one another based on behaviors and so on. So I would say what you're describing is very common and probably the number one roadblock for legacy financial services organizations to really be able to leverage truly personalized experiences. And that is why in many cases they're seeing some of those fintechs come and eat their lunch.
I agree with the comments that have been made thus far. I mean, it's not a simple endeavor to do this. And I think making the bar for the financial services companies the same bar that retail and fintech have is probably a little bit unrealistic. There's a lot of foundational work that needs to be done in order to get the silos broken down, both organizationally and from a technology point of view. But the banks that we're talking to are in the process of doing that. And as Dave mentioned earlier, it's a crawl, walk, run kind of thing. And you can get a lot of value out of doing some very simple personalization because today, quite frankly, a lot of it is, hey, it's your birthday, happy birthday. And that's about it. And there's some value to be had in just the what I would call the very obvious and basic personalization as opposed to the more sophisticated personalization we might come to expect from some of the leading retail brands.
But with that said, guys, for anyone that might be listening, it may sound like a daunting task, but would you agree that maybe email marketing is maybe the first way they can start bridging the gaps here on these technologies?
Absolutely. I mean, if you can track activity and understand what kind of emails your customers and prospects respond to and start to tailor those messages to the different segments, that's a great place to start.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was going with my original points is, you know, we can start with all these other technologies and a lot of these other technologies have suggestive type of personalization like email marketing platforms. So for anyone that's listening that may be struggling on where to get started, email marketing may be a good place.
Excellent. Appreciate the dialogue and the discussion on that one. That was great. And actually really good segue because my next question is for Jonathan at AmericanEagle.com. And Jonathan, how are your clients managing the workflow for content creation these days? You know, from brief concept to final sign off to actual deployment.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. You know, historically, this really depends on the size of the client. But before I dive into how they're doing it now, I mean, historically, when creating new content, you know, we've seen FSIs, especially banks, credit unions, a bit of the smaller organizations, their separate marketing teams work with a separate writing team or a separate SEO team to develop that content, optimize it, and then have a web admin upload it to the site or another channel for publishing. You know, this, you know, we've also seen brick and mortar content differentiate with the digital content because everything's being done in a vacuum in a silo. You know, and digital content created and it's approved, used to be approved separately. It really just created an overall disjointed messaging for these FSIs, especially the smaller organizations. But with this push to, to more engagement, more connections between channels, the need to move away from this type of vacuum has been accelerated, especially with what's been going on in this past year. So, you know, in FSIs, I think everyone would agree, have been the laggards in adopting digital solutions such as digital asset management systems, content marketing platforms, to really help streamline and optimize content across all these channels. However, what's encouraging is we've been having more and more conversations. We've had more implementations with banks and credit unions around these digital asset management systems and moving to a content marketing platform like Sitecore's Content Hub to help syndicate the content and the workflows and approvals all in one place. So something that used to historically take place, you know, offline and emails and file shares is now moving to more of a centralized repository. And the move and processes to a content hub, you know, even include organizational team members that used to be excluded until the final stages, such as legal or even the C-suite to help approve content or even terms as part of the overall workflow process. So we're seeing a lot of these starting to be moved to a single unified platform. And really the advantage of this is that type of solution is to optimize the workflows, you know, and the teams that are already in place, and then to streamline the messaging across the channels. I heard it was mentioned a little bit earlier, like, you know, you may need to add team members. However, and maybe the first step before adding team members is really just to optimize what you have and the teams you have in place.
This concludes part one of the Digital Content, the Missing Link in Your Portfolio podcast series hosted on FinTech Today, where our esteemed panel discussed digital transformation and the CX shift happening within the FSI vertical. And stay tuned for part two of this series, where we will do a deep dive into how the FSI sector can track content consumption, how to generate deep customer insights by leveraging AI, and much, much more.